The opinions expressed in this podcast are individual and are not representative of Spirit Live or Toronto Metropolitan University.
Welcome to episode 4 of 2 Points Podcast, a show where we talk about all things basketball. And why are we called 2 Points?
Because two hosts, two perspectives, and 2 points are always better than one.
And we're going to get started with our player of the week. And for me, I got a person that we've already given this award to already. It's going to be Luka Doncic again.
Again. He's just that good.
He's just that guy, I guess.
Just that good.
I know that everyone likes to dog on the Lakers for being like a fraudulent team almost. I know DeAndre Ayton's struggling, but over the last week, they have been 4-0. They won 4 games. In fact, over the last 10 games, they have been 9-1, which is pretty surprising, actually, in my opinion.
Yeah, it is.
They beat the Nuggets. That's a good team. They beat the Rockets twice, and we might have to talk about how the Rockets are doing, to be honest. They're falling a little bit. But Luka himself, he's been averaging just shy of 40 points over the last week.
40 points per game.
40 points over the last week, basically. He had a 51-point double-double against the Bulls.
Yeah.
And I think that was like, I don't know. I think... No, that was not a Bam Adebayo game. I remember that he did have another 50-point game on the same night that Bam got that record, but that got overshadowed because of Bam. But anyways, Luka is making an MVP case for himself. And I know that a lot of people were looking at guys like SGA and Jokic and Cade even, and even Jaylen Brown, as Stephen A. Smith said last week.
Yep.
Luka, Wemby.
You know?
I mean, Wemby too, yeah. But could Luka steal MVP this season? Is he more critical to team success than a guy like SGA is to the Thunder?
That's a good question, because Luka, I feel like, should have won MVP at some point in the last few years.
Yeah.
I think back to notably 2024 during that final season.
His performance in the actual finals was a little criticized, because that's when the conversation of Fat Serbian doesn't play defense started, really. Because no one really said that before.
But MVP is a regular season award, too.
It is.
But yeah, as of today, so today's March 19th when we're recording this. Lakers are 9-1 in their last 10 games, and Luka is carrying that team right now, it feels like.
Yes, he is.
They are also, it's not like a fraudulent win streak either. They're actually beating good teams as well. They just beat the Rockets in Houston back-to-back games.
Okay, people could say that something's wrong with the Rockets now.
They could. We'll get into that later. But in terms of Luka Doncic, his productivity, especially if you saw those clutch buckets he had against Houston in that second game, he is definitely making an MVP case for himself. He has the numbers for it. He's looking like he has team success now. My only concern is that it might be a bit too late for an MVP push. What do you think?
This is the thing, because I think, how many games does he have until he's not eligible? I remember I thought that he was out of the race just because he wasn't eligible, because of he's not exactly like an Iron Man. He does take some off games, right? Not his fault, to be honest, but he's not as an Iron Man as an SGA where Jokic is. I know Jokic took some time off, but he's probably going to play every game from now on, even in the final weeks of this season. But I do feel like that Luka, after the All-Star break, is probably the MVP. But you do have to consider that there's still... even the All-Star break isn't even, that's 60% of the season already done.
So yeah, that's not even halfway.
They'll probably give it to SGA just because of that first 60%.
Probably. I mean, you can even make an argument that Luka is overall better than SGA.
Yeah,
I think
you could.
I think his reputation has been kind of...
It's been all over the place.
Ever since Nico Harrison traded that guy. His reputation, especially on defense, has been way down, even though he has proven to be a guy that can take you to the finals. Yeah, Luka Doncic, in terms of individual talent, absolutely deserves MVP. Will he win it this season?
Probably not. I don't think so. No. Yeah.
But what a week. That's why he's our player of the week.
40 points for this week. 40 points per game this week.
Yeah.
All right, anyways. Our worst player of the week. It's going to be from the Houston Rockets, because I know we were dogging on the Rockets just earlier.
Yep.
Because they lost to the Lakers twice, but It's gonna be Tari Eason.
Not Tari Eason. What did he do?
Okay, Tari Eason. I was like debating to myself, should I give it to KD or Tari Eason? I feel like people would be like really mad if I said KD, because it's like, why is Kevin Durant the worst player of the week? Because statistically, he's not even the worst player of the week. Right. He's not even doing like that bad, but he's just like not taking shots for some reason. Like, he's taking like 10 to 12 shots a game for a bit, and that's really not the production that he's used to. He's not shooting bad. Like, he's shooting still efficiently, but he's just not taking as many shots for some reason.
Yeah.
And that's probably contributing to a bit of losing that the Rockets have been. They have been 1-3 over the last week. They only won against the Pelicans. They lost. And funny enough, they lost against the Nuggets, which the Lakers beat, and then they lost against the Lakers twice. Against Luka Doncic, right?
Yeah, it's kind of concerning if you can't beat other teams in the West that are actually in the playoff race.
Yeah.
It kind of just shows, like...
I feel like, yeah.
Can you really match up against them
in the playoffs?
I feel
like the thing with the Rockets is they're more internally issues than externally. Like, on paper, they have a very talented roster.
They do. I think...
We don't know what's going on in that locker room post KD files, you know?
Yeah, the Kevin Durant files. I mean, I honestly... There's a good chance that low-key ruined their team chemistry ever since they got leaked.
Yeah,
people like Jabari Smith and Alperen Şengün are probably like, "Hey, what the heck, man? We're not actually that bad."
Yeah,
but I think also the ever since the beginning of the season, the Fred VanVleet injury has been really detrimental to them.
I mean,
because they have had,
that just got a lot of.
I think Fred VanVleet adds like a lot of steadiness to them, because Amen Thompson, he would be good, but he just can't shoot. Reed Shepard's been like up and down. He's solid, but I don't know if he's a starter, a full-time starter just yet.
I like Reed.
Yeah, no, he's solid.
Personally.
But having a guy like Tari Eason not playing well only makes things worse for them.
Yeah. Okay. So some stats over those four games. He shot 8 for 35.
8 for 35.
So that's 22% over those games.
8 for 35.
Mind you, he was playing as a starter.
Oh, and he's still starting.
He was.
I didn't know he was a starter. I always thought he was a bench guy.
I know, over those games, he was playing as a starter. I know one of the games, he didn't get a lot of minutes, but the other couple ones, he got 30-plus minutes. You said that Fred VanVleet's injury does put is a big drop-off for Houston.
Yep.
I think that's also because of his three-point shooting.
Yeah.
A big issue with the Houston, in the beginning of the year at least, and even now, I would say, is their three-point shooting.
Yes, absolutely.
Only, like, KD can really shoot the three, and the other guy who can shoot the three is Tari. He was shooting about... just under like 40% on the season.
Okay, that's not bad.
Okay,
yeah.
But in these last stretch of games, Tari Eason shot 0-for-9 on threes.
0-for-9? He didn't make a single one?
No, he didn't make a single one. And that's surprising considering he's a pretty good shooter. He's their, I didn't say he was their second best 3-point shooter. You know, guys like Reed are kind of up and down. And then guys like Şengün, you wouldn't consider him a 3-point shooter?
He's an okay shooter.
But you wouldn't consider him like big. And then the same for Amen Thompson. Amen Thompson can't shoot threes. He just can't shoot threes. That's about it.
No, he can't. It's funny how much better you think Amen Thompson would be if he could shoot. Like, he has all the tools.
Is he falling into like that Ben Simmons like thing?
Oh,
he's
very athletic, very strong at the rim.
Very good defender, tall.
I hope he does not take that route. I mean, to be fair, when Kevin Durant was in Brooklyn, he seemed to kind of like Ben Simmons, even though he wasn't that good.
In the files, he said, "I really like Ben Simmons."
Yeah, yes. I mean, yeah, even those texts and messages.
Maybe he
got
does
leaked.
Like Amen. He didn't talk about Amen Thompson in his rants. Apparently,
no. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe he likes the Ben Simmons archetype players.
Yeah. All right. Anyways, we're gonna have our doctor's check-in. So, our first team is going to be one that surprised me a bit because I was not that big on them. It's going to be the Atlanta Hawks. Okay.
Ooh, the Atlanta Hawks?
When you think of the Atlanta Hawks, what do you think of?
I think of just mid.
You think of play-in?
Just mid.
I think of play-in.
Play-in,
okay.
Mid, like, they're just, like, in the middle completely.
Okay.
Like, you don't know what they're doing.
That is completely fair. But anyways, over the last 10 games, they've been 10-0.
10
games in a row they won.
10-0.
Right? This was the part that surprised me. They are fighting to be the fifth spot in the East now.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That is crazy. When you think about, they are like usually 9 or 10. Even in the season, they were like about 9 and 10. They could beat the Raptors
winning. I mean, if you guys listened to our first episode, the Hawks were our most disappointing team. If you remember, they were our most disappointing team because they were so bad, so underwhelming. And now they're all they're of a sudden playing... fighting for fifth.
Yeah, that's crazy. They're not even. They might not even be in the play-in come postseason.
Yeah.
But we got to credit that a lot to Jalen Johnson's ascension.
Jalen Johnson, of course.
This guy turned into like a stretch. He can shoot the three. He can. He's like a point forward almost. He gets triple. Like over the last game, over the last four games that over the week that the Hawks won, they all won all four. Jalen Johnson has gone two triple doubles, and one of those he just missed by one assist.
Yeah.
And recently, I think another thing with the Hawks of this run is they moved CJ McCollum to the starting lineup over Zachary Richesse.
Yeah, so I think that's the right move.
I think that's the that's might be the right move. That might be the right move.
I'm surprised
you know?
Richesse has still started all these games.
I mean, it's like fitting like a square block into a circle hole.
Yeah,
it's just not gonna work.
It's just not gonna
They're
work.
Just trying, and it's not gonna work.
Yeah, that has definitely been the right move for them. I think also the ascension of Nikhil Alexander-Walker.
Yes, I was gonna talk about
that. Has been huge.
Yes,
he just had a 40-point game.
Yes, he had a 41-point game against the Magic, and another big thing of the Hawks' like recent victories are Dyson Daniels has been showing up, I would say at least.
Yeah. How is his 3-point shooting been?
Okay, he stopped shooting threes.
Okay. I guess that's a good
that's
thing.
That's like a good thing. If you know you can't do it, then just stop.
Yeah.
Like you're just wasting like possessions at that point. But Dyson has been shooting pretty efficiently, not in threes. He hasn't shot threes really in the last couple of games, but he's been shooting over 60% in most recent games.
Okay, that's good.
It's pretty good.
Very
and
good.
He's been scoring above 15 in a chunk of them.
Yeah.
And I feel like he is definitely elevating the Hawks now, considering how he was doing earlier in the season, where he could barely get up like 5-6 points per game.
Yeah.
Now he's scoring pretty noise. So my question to you is, can the Hawks make some noise in the postseason here?
Ooh, in the postseason.
Yeah.
Now, theoretically, let's say they make it to that fifth spot or sixth
they would be
spot.
Playing...
Maybe playing
Cavs, probably.
Cavs or Knicks or something like that.
Knicks at four? I don't think so. Cavs, maybe, yeah.
Well, I think they are still a piece or multiple pieces away. I don't know if Jalen Johnson, as great as he's been, I don't know if he can be a number one guy for a playoff team trying to make a deep run. They're probably a first-round exit, the way I
see
it.
Okay, that's fair.
But they could make the playoffs. They totally could. And it's crazy to think about the fact that this team might have gotten better after trading Trae Young and trading Porzingis.
No, they definitely got better.
Because when the trade first happened and they were losing, it was like, yo, what are these guys doing? But now it seems like, and I don't know if I'm wrong on this. You might have to correct me.
Okay.
Are they undefeated in the Jonathan Kuminga era?
Oh, I gotta switch it up. Okay.
Because
that's a good question. Wait, I know that.
Jonathan Kuminga he's been playing. You gotta give him credit too.
Yes,
he's been playing
good.
Well. It seems like he's found his joy back.
That's the Jimmy Butler statement.
Yeah.
But I know that Jalen Johnson was out a couple games, and Jonathan Kuminga has been playing pretty well. Okay, they traded. Okay, wait. When's the last time they lost? Let's see. They lost against the Heat on February 20th. Is that before or after? They had Jonathan Kuminga, but he didn't play.
Oh, he probably just got traded to them. Like,
yeah.
And the trade hasn't gone through yet.
Yeah. I think you might be right, actually. Really?
Maybe.
That's a crazy stat.
Maybe Jonathan Kuminga was the cornerstone to that.
That is right.
to the team.
Since Jonathan Kuminga has played, like, he hasn't played a couple games after the postseason, after the mid-season break, just because of the trades and stuff, processing that. But since he's played on February 24th, they have not lost a game.
That's wild. I mean,
that is crazy.
Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, I'm happy for him to see him actually.
Because
it feels like Golden State kept.
I don't know what Kerr was doing, to be honest, not using him.
Everybody knew that he was good.
Yeah.
Everybody knew it. But I'm glad that Jonathan Kuminga is now thriving on the Hawks now and they're actually winning.
Yeah,
but I'm curious, how is his former team doing?
Oh, that's another check-in we're going to do. We're going to talk about the Golden State Warriors. Okay, let me preface this right now. Everyone's been dead. Okay, Steph Curry out. Jimmy Butler out.
Yeah,
Porzingis,
they have
day
been
to day.
Killed with injuries.
Draymond Green not playing as much.
I don't even know what
Draymond's
injury.
Even though he doesn't do anything.
Draymond just doesn't play when Curry is not playing.
Okay, like, so he doesn't play.
He just doesn't play then. He's just like, nah, I'm out.
Who else has been out? Even like their backup guys have been out. Moses Moody been out.
Yeah.
Horford been out.
This past month and a half, you look at their starting lineup and
most
people
who?
Most people probably can't even tell
who
they are. You know those old memes where it's like you have a really bad team starting lineup and you're like,
yeah,
this, I watch this, that's how you know I'm a day one.
Yeah,
that's how you know
I watch Will Richard play as a starter. Okay, anyways,
I watch Brandon Pajemski and Will
I watch
Richard
Brandon,
start for my
Brandon
team.
Pajemski is probably the bane of Golden State's existence. That's funny because Golden State could have had Lauri Markkanen, but
they could have had
Lauri, but their asking price was Brandon Pajemski and Jonathan Kuminga, who they shipped out for like nothing anyways.
Yeah.
For Porzingis, who's been, I don't know about that trade either, to be honest.
Yeah. Lauri Markkanen would have actually been
Lauri
a really
that's
good
the third splash, brother. The splash cousin.
He would have been really good for them.
Well, Kerr does say that Curry may be back by the end of the month. So in about 10 days from us
still
shooting this.
Still a little while, yeah.
It's still a little bit. He's been gone for a while.
I mean, ever since all these injuries have happened, I think the Warriors are under 500 now. They've been losing a lot.
They're not hanging into the play-in. They're 10th in the West.
Oh, they're 10th?
They're 10th in the West, and they are under 500.
All
they've
way
been
down
two.
So the Clippers have a better record than them.
Yeah,
now.
The Blazers have a better record than them.
Oh, man. Yeah,
they're 2-8 in the last
10
games. And my question is it even worth at this point to like try to contend? They're 10th in the West. Everyone's been injured. What's stopping them from just shutting down everyone for the rest of the season?
That's a good question. What is stopping them? Because at this point, though,
is it like can they even beat like they're in the play-in? They could have Steph Curry back, but are they gonna beat guys like a Clippers team who has been ascending
recently?
I don't
even think they'd beat the Clippers.
A strong young Blazers team, or a surprising Suns team? Can they even beat any of those?
I don't think so. I mean, as long as Jimmy Butler's out, their second best player, I don't know what Curry. It feels like Curry's going to be out there by himself. You don't know how Porzingis is going to be in terms of health. Draymond is like I don't even know what he does anymore, to be honest. And then
he's a mascot. He's the Team Warriors mascot, yeah.
Yeah, then all those other guys are so inconsistent. They're so up and down. Golden State's probably in a spot where even if they lose every game now, it's probably too late to start tanking. So you might as well just at least stay where you are.
The thing is, the between Golden State and the 11th seed, like the 10th and 11th seed, is a big drop off because the 11th is Memphis, I think.
Yeah.
And everyone under Golden State is already in like tank mode, like Memphis, Pelicans, Mavericks, Jazz, Kings, like they already given up on the season. So
yeah,
Warriors will probably have to play in the play-in.
Yeah.
Is it worth it to try? Probably not, because they're just gonna lose to a better team.
Yeah, they're not. They're not gonna be contenders or anything.
So, anyways, in other weekly news, there was rumors that, and I don't know if it's next. No, it's not next season. In the next 2-3 seasons, I think they are gonna expand to 2 more teams.
They are thinking about that.
They're thinking about Las Vegas.
I hear they're going to have some sort of vote on who to expand to and when.
It's probably Vegas and Seattle.
Those are the top contenders.
Yeah, Seattle has a fan base already, as we know, with the Sonics. And Vegas is just like a high, big market. Like, I know that in the NFL has the Las Vegas Raiders, even though they're a bad team. They've been bad for like 20, 25 years, but having those teams would definitely do good. The thing about having those two, specifically Vegas and Seattle, they're both in the West Coast. So another West Coast team would have to move to the East. And people are saying that's Memphis or Minnesota. I feel like if Minnesota was in the East, that'd be generational.
It would even things out so much.
That'd be really bad for
bad for every Eastern Conference team. It would, but it would be beneficial probably for the NBA as a whole because it evens things out. We don't always just talk about the stacked West anymore.
Yeah.
Now you have a bigger threat in the East.
Yeah, and assume that the Vegas and Seattle teams will not be as good just because of the like how. Yeah. They will draft their players. Do you know how that's going to work?
The expansion draft.
Yeah, can we talk about that?
Yeah. So, from my understanding, the expansion draft, every current NBA team protects 8 players.
Yes.
And then the expansion teams pretty much draft one by one of all the remaining players who are unprotected.
Yeah.
Basically.
Okay. So, like, let's say like this. If I'm... What's a team that I can use an example for? Would I be keeping, like, a guy like Joel Embiid?
Ooh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a tough question. For the Sixers, I mean, I feel like you have to. Yeah. I think Joel Embiid is not only like has been like a super loyal guy. He's also like I think in my opinion, Joel Embiid noticeably makes that team so much better. He makes Philadelphia so much better.
He's been more healthy as of late.
Yeah, it's just comes down to health. Right now, but I don't think there are eight guys on that team that you protect over Embiid though.
That's fair. Right? That is fair. That's
fair. But I mean, those are questions you would have to ask if you're a GM dealing with an expansion draft.
That is true. Well, anyways, there are not rumors because it's not from an official source, but there are talks that KD, it'd be cool if KD retires as a Sonic because I know his contract expires in 28.
Oh, if they expand in Seattle?
He can retirement tour in Seattle.
So he starts his rookie season as a Sonic.
And he ends as a Sonic. And then he starts his rookie season as a Sonic. The franchise dies. Like, it doesn't exist for, like, actually, like, 20 years. And then he comes back as a Sonic.
And that'd he revives cool. that franchise from that last
and
season.
And he revives that franchise.
That would
franchise.
Be pretty
That'd be
cool.
Pretty
that would be pretty yes. interesting.
In other news, do you want to talk about what happened to your former now? I don't know if it's former now, but your MVP candidate, Cade Cunningham.
Yeah, so
very unfortunate.
Unfortunate news actually came out earlier today. Again, today's March 19th. Earlier today, it was announced that Cade Cunningham has a collapsed lung.
Yeah, like, I don't even know.
Where did this come from?
That is a very tough injury right there.
It's very tough. This feels like it just came out of nowhere. I don't think there's any prior buildup to this.
No.
So, yeah, he's probably out for the next 2 weeks, probably even longer, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, just prayers for Cade Cunningham.
Yeah, prayers for that guy.
Because we could not see Cade Cunningham on an all-NBA team because of this.
That is true. That'd be very unfortunate.
And that'd be super unfortunate.
Does Detroit even have a run at the first seed? Can they even have the first seed? Can they make the playoff? Can they make a playoff run? Can they, like...
Yeah, I don't know. Someone, like, you could think, could Boston, could New York, could they
I feel like Boston
take over?
Yeah. Boston could definitely steal it with Tatum back. They could probably steal it.
Yeah, that's tough.
That is very tough for them. Maybe now if you're the eighth seed in the East, it's more lucrative now because if you do end up playing Detroit, if they retain that one, if you're like Charlotte play a Cade Cunningham-less Detroit team,
that'd
be pretty lucrative for you.
That Pistons and Hornets series is going to be generational.
That's not fair now. It's Cade's out, but
it's going to be generational. No, because you have the beef between the two. Now you have the story of Cade being out.
Now Charlotte has a fighting chance. All right. Anyways, some games to watch for the next week.
Yeah, so what can we look forward to in the upcoming weeks?
I have the Hawks versus the Celtics, and only because the Hawks have been on that hot streak and the Celtics are looking like they could be the number one seed. That'd be interesting.
Yeah.
For fighting for seeding, because we are in the last stretch of the season, a lot of teams are going to be fighting to get out of the play-in, to get better seeding, whatnot. So the Sixers and the Hornets. The Sixers have fallen a lot recently.
They're the ninth.
After they've been, like, what, the fifth for a while?
Yeah.
Just because of the injuries, that's unfortunate for them. But the Sixers and Hornets on March 28th, they're going to be fighting for seeding, so I expect everyone to show up on that game.
Yeah, that should
Hopefully
be good
the Sixers are somewhat healthy by then. The Knicks versus the Rockets on March 31st. I think that'll be an interesting game. It's a good team in the East versus a good team in the West. Rockets, see if the Rockets can bounce back after their troubles currently. And the last one, I have another good one for seeding. It's going to be the Blazers and the Clippers. On March 31st, they are both,
they're in the
8th and 9th?
I think so.
If Warriors are the 10th, they're the 8th and 9th.
Yeah.
Both teams are, you have a young, very good Blazers team with Denny Klingon, Sharp's out, who else? Scoot Henderson. I don't know, I don't even know why I'm praising Scoot Henderson. But there's probably a better person on that team, Drew Holiday's still cooking. And then you got Clippers with... Darius Garland's been pretty good for them, I would say.
Yeah.
He's been pretty surprising.
Kawhi's been carrying.
Darius
Garland. Like, if the Clippers were better, he'd be MVP candidate as well.
Yes, 100%. They would be MVP. But he could make a case, but MVPs doesn't really give it to teams that are, like, that don't win as very often.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I think that should be for the week. Do you have anything else to say?
No, I mean... That's pretty much covers up this past week in the NBA. We'll see what happens with these upcoming games to watch. We'll see if teams can get more healthy.
You need to get healthy and finish off strong before the playoffs start.
Yeah, these teams need to, if they want to make a playoff push, they need to start winning. They need to start getting healthy. And we'll see how this final month in the NBA looks.
It looks to be great.
Yep.
Right. See you guys.
All right. Take care, everyone. Bye.